This episode of Anomaly was recorded December 14th, 2008. I finished editing our latest installment December 18th and was ready to hand it over to my co-host, Angela, when we both learned that Majel Barrett had passed away. We couldn't publish this episode without paying our respects to this great anomaly. If you've never heard of Majel Barrett, she was the wife of Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek. And if he was the father of Star Trek, she was its mother. Majel played the part of the first officer in the original Star Trek's pilot episode. The studio execs weren't too keen with a woman playing the part of a first officer, and so she was replaced, as was Captain Pike. Nonetheless, Angela and I admire her pioneering spirit and that of her husband. Later, in Star Trek The Next Generation, Majel played the part of Loxana Troi, Counselor Deanna Troi's mother. She was an eccentric character who shared our admiration of Captain Picard. She was funny and witty and kind-hearted, and one of our favorite characters. She also played the part of the ship's computer, and from what I understand, her last role was as the ship's computer in the newest Star Trek movie. We admired her dedication to her husband, to Star Trek, and its fans. We loved the spirited women she played on television and the courageous woman that she was in real life. Thank you, Majel. May you rest at peace in the stars.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I used to bullseye white wings with my 12-gauge back home. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I rolled my death knight. What's your game? And I am an anomaly.
My name is Casey, and my dream vehicle is a 1960s TARDIS, the blue phone box model. And I am an anomaly.
And my name is Joel Bright, and I'm a level 23 on Halo 3, and I'm an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast!
There is much rejoicing.
Oh, mighty Python.
What are we doing today, Jen?
Oh, gosh, okay. When I was 4 years old, that was 1978, I felt a great disturbance in the Force as millions of fans suddenly cried out in terror and were silenced.
I was born.
No. I feared something terrible had happened, and now I know what that something was. A steaming pile of Life Day poo-doo, and I tortured my friends.
Bantha poo.
It's just poo-doo.
It's French.
It's just...
It's a French accent.
Plain poo-doo.
Oh, no.
And I've tortured my friends by making them all watch...
Except for me.
...the Star Wars holiday special.
I kind of forgot, but I have seen parts of it, and...
And you will be subjected to
more.
I will be subjected to more,
and also, I kind of probably almost did it on purpose.
Forgot.
Because I had time to roll the Death Knight, so I had time to watch it. I just probably chose not to.
You didn't miss much.
Yes, this is what I'm told.
Well, consequently, the Star Wars Holiday Special just turned 30. So,
aww.
Yeah.
Yay?
It's not as fun as it sounds, turning 30.
No.
Is it better or worse than Phantom Menace? That's the only question I have.
Well, let me just say this. David tried to watch it with me last night in preparation, but at the point where the Wookiees started their quote-unquote dialogue, he blacked out.
Nice.
So, I guess what they say about women having a higher threshold for pain is true, because I don't know how, but I was able to remain conscious.
Oh, that's good. And just so y'all know, the monkey is out of his cage, so if you hear baby, sorry. That's what happens when you record in the studio.
Yeah.
Did anybody actually time how long that intro of just Wookiee sounds?
It's about two-thirds.
Two-thirds of the movie.
Two-thirds of the film
the whole time.
And actually, it's not even a real Wookiee growl. I think most of it is like maybe Tauntaun growls.
So, yes, the fact that they introduce his wife, Which I cannot pronounce.
Mala?
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't spell it.
I think it's a little baby that has the complicated Wampala Balupala.
Yeah, something like that. Which also, by the way, has more headshots than Macaulay Culkin. So, and then, of course, the favorite of the cast, which would be the old man with the no upper lip whatsoever. His entire bottom jaw covers his face.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only part I've seen previous to this discussion is the B. Arthur. I'm kind of looking forward to it just because of the scariness that is about to ensue. There is a couple of things we are going to talk about other than the special.
That's
the Christmas
good.
Special. One is the release of The Wrath of the Lich King, which came out at the beginning or middle of November, which is the WoW expansion pack. And also we are going to talk a little bit of Battlestar because the very first webisode came out and the release date for the season 4.2 or whatever is going to be January 16th. So we're very, very excited.
The other thing that we have to add at the end of the podcast, if everybody will stick around after our commentary on the holiday special, is one of our listeners, Meds from England, convinced his friend Nikki, who had never seen Star Wars before, to watch it with him, and he interviewed her afterwards.
That's great.
So
just
we
like
have
our
that. Yeah,
Aaron.
We do. Yeah, he cool. sent us the MP3, and we have that to play at the end.
Awesome.
Yay.
All right.
So.
Well.
Let's do it.
Enjoy.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I'm a television junkie, gotta get another fix. I'm a television junkie, comes in 30-minute hits. Television leads to complacency. When boredom sets in and you turn on the TV, my life is missing something so bad. There's a theme song and a laughter.
You want to talk about the webisode first?
Yes.
Yes, that's
okay.
Very important.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I felt like an animal that had a carrot dangled in front of his face because I was sucked in knowing full well that it was only going to be about 5 minutes long. I was shocked when it ended. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to know what else was happening, so I totally fell for that. I think in that little 5 minute clip, there was a lot revealed. First of all, mm-hmm. we know that there's some type of battle back on between the Cylons and the humans.
Yeah, so we don't know what that, mm-hmm. if that's the remaining of the Cylons. I don't know. We don't know. Or it could be the ones that are being led by the threes or mm-hmm. A3.
And Deanna. The three is Deanna. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So isn't she the new leader?
I think so.
It's yeah. I'm all refresher. And of course I deleted all of them from my DVR because I had to make room for other stuff. So I guess we have to get the DVD. But yeah, so very exciting. And Gaeta has a relationship, so that's cool. Good for him. But we still don't know because of, what did they say that it was, nine days later, and then it went to 3 days before the 9 days, so it's actually 6 days later.
I was confused on the timing, too.
But it's weird how that just a few days after what we saw, that all of that would be going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It seems like really fast, you know, because I kind of wanted... You know, I wanted it to pick up. I don't know about you guys, but I wanted it to pick up, like, right there, you know, if it really is Earth or what, you know, what we think of as Earth or what the deal is, if it's, you know, how far in the future it is and mm-hmm. all that other kind of fun stuff. But I'm excited to remember everything about Battlestar so we can continue to watch in January. It's going to be here before we know it, I think. And then we'll be very sad when it ends. So hopefully it's, like, a really awesome ending. I'll be very happy about that. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think they're going to disappoint as long as they keep true. And what happens at it was about Gaeta. He's alone in that shit, in that raptor.
Yeah.
But we don't know how he gets to that point. We mm-hmm. just see him getting into the raptor and the raptor getting lost.
Well, the Sheerans were exchanging expressions and staring at him and all that. So they must have had some type of plan, I think, going in.
They had a plan?
I think they are the reason why he's by himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense. Well, I got more the impression that, did you guys watch it?
I had to go to work right after, so not a lot stuck, but I do remember that Gaeta's in a relationship, and I kind of clapped my hands.
I thought it was sweet. But then when did that happen, though? Because the days, that's what weirds me out, is that, like, when the year happened, you know, between those two seasons, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, or not the season, but that one episode where it was, like, a year, then all the relationships and all the things that have gone on, you're like, okay, cool, but it's kind of weird that it's, like, just a few days later, and then suddenly, here's a relationship, here's this, here's yeah. that, and it's like, I don't know, it just seems like days is yeah. kind of a weird timeline mm-hmm. for all of that stuff to happen.
Well, he's Gata's, drug dealer too, I guess, because he delivered him some type of painkiller.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
maybe he had been giving him.
Ty is in the CIC, mm-hmm. you know, being Ty, even though everybody yeah. knows about him. So
exactly.
I guess. I mean, that's good. I mean, I like Ty just being Ty. I'm excited because I like him acting regardless of what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
But it's neat to just have him back in the CIC, just doing his thing. So I hope that's really what's going on.
I saw the first two episodes where they just kept running away, and then I lost the cable.
And, you're way far
behind.
That's
sad.
Yeah.
Jen didn't start watching until I made her.
Yeah. But I have a pretty good idea that basically everybody's a Cylon, they just don't know it. At least that's what I've got from watching the episode.
Robot Chicken made fun of it, where they were just like, we're going to get you straight to the point in all your favorite TV shows. And they went to Battlestar, and basically every single character saying, I'm a Cylon. And
yes.
at the end, there's Seth Green saying, I'm a Cylon, which goes with an end joke from the beginning of the episode. And all of a sudden, you see his head explode, and Ron Moore standing behind him with a shotgun saying, Die, Cylon!
Yeah, they also implied that they could help him. It's like Seth Green and his co-producer yeah. from Robot Chicken are there, and they're like, okay, we're great writers and we can help you with Battlestar Galactica. He's like, what? I don't need help. This is easy. All I do is I take a dart and I put some pictures up of all my characters, and then I throw it, and whoever gets hit by the dart is a Cylon. Watch. Boom. Cylon. Boom. Look, you're a Cylon. Now he's a Cylon. Everybody's a Cylon.
Joss Whedon was also in there, too. So if you're able to go to the Robot Chicken website and watch that episode, I highly recommend it. That's because awesome. Seth MacFarlane is also in there,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Basically that, everyone they've ever worked with. Or
yeah, and the idea that, yeah, the idea that Seth MacFarlane, every time that he makes some sort of reference, it automatically comes true. So it's also pretty funny how they make fun of him. They're like, wow, that's amazing. He's like, you should wish for world peace. And he's like, oh, world peace, that's a worse idea than this. And then it just happens. It's really awkward. You know? And even just, and they're like, that's amazing. You know, we've been trying to get our Robot Chicken, it was canceled. You know, do you think you can get it back on? He's like, Robot Chicken, that's silly. Of course it's back on. Boof, and it just happens. Apparently this guy can do anything he wants. And I think last I heard, he, since with Family Guy and American Dad, he's earned, yeah. he's like worth, he like earned
$100 million.
Yeah. The guy is loaded. It's amazing.
Funny. He's hilarious. He's a little off, but I think in a good way.
Do y'all watch The Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
I love that show.
Me too.
My older sister makes fun of me for being a geek, but she will sit down next to me and watch Big Bang Theory and be like, that's Sheldon.
Like that.
That's me.
I am very happy. Jen and I were talking about this the other day. Like, when I first started watching it, I really liked all of the subject matter, but mm-hmm. the first season, I didn't like how they were writing Penny because
yeah.
I thought she was too one-dimensional, like,
yeah.
oh, blonde bimbo next door mm-hmm. type. And it's like, why would Leonard like her? I mean, yeah,
she's hot, but there's only
yeah, there is hot, but like, I mean, the whole like liking her because she's hot only goes so far, and so I was kind of like, well, you know, that's fine, but there's got to be something. And then in the second season, they've gotten better at writing her, so I've been
and I love that they shifted it away from that, you know, dorky guy meets hot girl, you know, will they get together? That died pretty quickly, mm-hmm. just like you said.
Yeah, because so. Now they're just friends.
Yeah.
And comes and hang out
for
together.
Now.
And,
well, I mean, I think they still left it a little open, but mm-hmm. It's kind of rules of drama, though, is that, like, every TV show, you can't get the two main characters together.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. I mean, and
you'd be jumping the shark at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's yeah. not what you do. And
it's
if you do,
Ross
you have
Rachel
to get them apart as soon as possible, i.e. Angel and Buffy. Something has to happen to completely screw everything up. I mean, because nobody wants to watch a happy relationship.
No, not at all.
That is not good TV made. Because that was...
Oh.
Sorry, guys. Let it
out. Apparently he agrees.
Well, I really liked Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock.
Yeah.
Angel and I are going to work on memorizing the rules for that and use it in our podcast when we have a disagreement.
The funny part is how all of them go to Spock.
Yes.
And then how do we decide?
Okay, someone has to stop choosing Spock. How do we decide
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock!
How do you team up Spock with a pair of scissors? That makes sense. Yeah, you really need to look at the rules for that. That would be smart.
And the other thing is, like I said before, Wrath of the Lich King came out. We're really, really excited about it. I would like to have a full podcast with all of our WoW people, because that would be very fun. I'm not doing any of the high-end stuff because I came in with a level 50 and a level 54 character. But I just hit 55, so I was able to roll a Death Knight, and that content is awesome. So if anybody wants to write in about their experiences with their Death Knight, it's so cool. I mean, oh, it's neat. And also the stuff in Northrend, anybody who knows what I'm talking about knows what I'm talking about. Just the art has hit a new level. Jim got me the special collector's edition that has the art book and the DVD and extras and all that fun stuff. So it's pretty amazing. I mean, Blizzard's just, of course, outdone themselves yet again. So it's been really great to play.
You loaned me the soundtrack.
I did.
And that's as far as I've gone with this Lich King thing. But I love the soundtrack. It's mm-hmm. awesome. I mean, I'm kind of a fan of soundtracks, period. It doesn't matter. Game soundtracks, movie soundtracks, television shows. I just collect them all. And if I can coax listeners to listen to game soundtracks, that would be one of the ones I'd have on the top of my list.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it is.
It's very awesome. Go. That's how we roll.
I don't play WoW.
That's how we
roll. I'll end up like the people on the guild, like totally glued to their computer screens and not having a life, even though I have college.
I agree with that. I think if I actually did start playing it, I would probably lose all sense of time and just never leave. Yeah.
Only because we love it too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Me that before we played WoW, I actually spent more time playing KOTOR than mm-hmm. I do playing WoW. I spent a lot more time playing KOTOR, and we didn't have a baby at that time, so it was a little easier for me. But even I don't really spend. I mean, I spend time, but not really that much comparatively. Not if I wasn't playing WoW, I'd be playing another game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have my other games that I like to play. So I mean, and I like it. I think we really like it because we have friends that live out of state, and like we have one friend in Dallas and another friend in Las Vegas, and so it's fun to kind of get on and hang out with them. And some of our friends in San Antonio, that's like the only time we really get to chill with them is over the internet. And it sounds kind of silly, but
no,
it's
kinda like not silly.
Podcast in a way, because you're reaching out, you're doing mm-hmm. your own thing, you get to hang out with people that you have a lot in common with, and then, you know, go kill some trolls.
Yeah. Like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine was introducing me to that, and he looked up this YouTube clip of a bunch of guys trying to take on this one dungeon or something like that. Oh. Well, apparently there's a bunch of guys, and they're all getting together, and they're all saying like, okay, you do this, you do that, you do this.
Very organized.
Yeah, all organized, and then this one guy just comes in, he's all, let's do this, woo! And he runs in.
That would be the Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins,
and
yes.
Become, like, kind of an iconic hero.
Yeah.
Wow. And
he actually screams, Leroy Jenkins!
He goes, Leroy Jenkins! That's how he says it.
And
then he says something about eating chicken. Yeah. It's really funny.
I think he went to go get some chicken, and then once he finished eating chicken, that's when he got back on. And then
everybody killed.
It was great.
It's just carnage. But, you know, when you play the game, you know, you go through a lot of trouble. When you go through those dungeons, you know, you set them up, everybody has their job, all your different, you know, and when it's a big raid like that, it takes a lot of time to get, you know, 40 or 25 people together.
Yeah, there was at least 15 characters sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a long time to get 5 people together for one dungeon. Oh. It takes so long to get so many people together, and then
it took us 3 weeks to get 4 people together. What are you talking about?
Right, exactly. So you get all those people together, and y'all are getting ready to do this thing, and then one person screws it up. I mean, I can understand how they'd be pissed, but at the same time, it's funny because the beginning of that clip, they take everything so everything is so seriously.
Yes,
they're doing
yes.
so much math, you know. Mm-hmm. But how what are their chances and stuff? And so, but I think that everybody that can play, if you can kind of laugh at that, then
yes.
you're in a good place.
So, right. So was it a dramatic thing? Like they just made it up, or is it a real recording?
It was a real
the guild, one of the leaders of the group was recording it, because you know how like Rico has recordings of some of this stuff from WoW.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. looking at a computer screen.
And you're looking at it as if you're playing, like mm-hmm. you're the character. You're looking at it like that, and
I mean, all their friends are there,
and everybody's there, and it's just like
they're all just
getting ready.
They're like, "There's the door. Don't go into it yet. And, you know, let's talk about what's our chances." You know, this guy with the very masculine voice said, "We got 33% chance of survival." Okay, that's good, man. That's great.
And the thing is, though, is that once you go in, all of the bad guys, all the NPCs, you know, start attacking you.
Yeah.
And then there's, unless if you don't have a plan, a lot of the times you're going to die.
No,
especially
yeah.
with those characters. So
they all died quickly.
Yeah,
that was the best part. I mean,
pretty quickly. Yeah. There's nothing you can really
So, I mean, anybody could just enjoy the carnage value of this little video clip, even if you don't even know what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, in fact, my brother was here the other day, and he had seen that clip and thought it was really funny. So.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
what's the, so if someone did a search on YouTube,
just
what's,
YouTube for Leroy Jenkins.
Just do Leroy Jenkins. Yeah.
Wow, Leroy Jenkins. You'll find it.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I think it's very nerdy and very funny.
So the you brought up the guild a while ago. I just wanted to mention a shout out to Kenny, a listener of ours and friend of mine.
Cool.
He produces or helps produce the guild.
Yes.
And he has a cameo role on 5 episodes of the guild. He is the bum who's lifting the bottle in the background in all of the shots
right,
that they're on
Kenny.
The street. So if you see Kenny...
that was awesome bottle lifting, dude.
Yes.
Great job.
Uh-huh.
Pitch
Primo.
Perfect.
Yes.
So we should all give him the Gamma Quadrant golf clap at this point.
Gotta love that. All right, so I guess it's time to...
Let's
torture
start torturing.
Por qué?
Hello, folks. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast. Right now, though, you are listening to The Anomaly Podcast with Jen and Angela, a pair of geek girls who know the difference between a phaser and a lightsaber and aren't afraid to use them.
Knights of the Old Republic, Jedi Knight, New Jedi Order, Legacy of the Force, Mara Jade and Kyle Katarn. What do all these works and characters have in common? Well, they're all from the expanded universe of the ever-growing Star Wars galaxy. Where can you find more information on the EU? On EUcast, the official podcast of EUCantina.net, of course. Join and listen to Andrew, Austin, and Lawrence each week as they bring you insight on the expanded universe, from news and discussion to debates over recent works and interesting characters. What's there to lose? To listen, simply go to www.EUCantina.net. /EUcast. Listen or listen not, there is no try.
Yes. What was the thing you were bringing about Carrie Fisher? You gotta talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't find the title of the book. I wish I could have.
All right,
commence
now it
the
begins.
Do we want to just discuss how much it sucked first, and then we will play various clips?
Sure.
And make fun of them, because this is the thing. We had the idea to do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style episode, but an hour
painful.
And a half of this was
painful.
It's horrible. In fact, I think... If torture was legal, they should play the holiday special instead of rock music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just the, you know, maybe the B. Arthur song.
Mm. That show bad? That shoulder.
You know you love it.
Not
really. And Carrie Fisher, I think, was probably on crack the whole time.
Methamphetamines
I think that's the only way to get
back
for the entire thing.
Yeah. She was swaying
Doesn't
a little
she
bit.
Doesn't she do like a little solo?
She does. We may have to play that too.
Yeah, so at the very end during the
That's a classic.
Life Day ceremony.
Yeah.
A day of peace.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. You can't even make fun of it without cringing.
It's almost like sad. It's almost sad.
It really is.
Less than funny, it's sad.
It's because we love Star Wars so much. It's hard to believe that we hate a part of it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Star Wars Holiday Special is the reason why that movie will never ever become a Broadway musical like everything else has. You know, like Evil Dead and
Lord of the
Shrek.
Rings was a
Lord of the Rings
musical. I don't know if it was in Broadway. I think it was in Canada.
It was in Canada and then in London.
And how about the fact that it's so universally terrible. Just like as Star Wars when it came out, that it became an instant favorite around the entire world. The Holiday Special became an instant hatred all around the world. They played it once in the United States, once in France. Everywhere that it was played once, it was only played once, and that was it.
Yes.
Okay.
And yes, people, those are recycled clips from Star Wars.
You were right. It aired November 17th in 1978 in the United States, and it only showed one time. That was it.
Mm.
And that, I think, promotes the doubt that a lot of people have if this thing really exists, because Lucas completely disowned it.
So how did you get it?
I cannot say.
Okay.
And, yeah, the only way people can get this is if it's pirated or they stole it maybe, you know, back in the day, recorded it and kept it. Weird Al Yankovic's
White and Nerdy.
You see a clip in the video of him buying in a back alley a videotape.
Yes.
It is this,
yes.
The Star Wars Holiday Special. So,
which also explains the quality. It looks like it comes from a VHS. There's Carrie Fisher high as a
kite.
So anyway, the story was set 2 years after the Battle of Yavin, and it takes place on Kashyyyk. Scenes also take place in space aboard the Millennium Falcon and the Imperial Star Destroyer, as well as on Tatooine.
With three Y's and a silent C.
His father, Itchy. How that's the only simple name. Itchy.
Yeah. Could have been like Bob.
Yeah, you have Chewbacca, Mala, Itchy, and Lumpy. I mean, at some point, the naming scheme just, they just gave up.
Yeah.
Do you want to see this, honey?
See? Check it out. He had a lightsaber for a mic.
Oh, yeah.
The sad part is that Wookiees are actually a very noble people.
Yeah.
And this makes them, it's very sad.
Well, apparently they like cooking shows.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's on here.
It's almost like this was purposely made to make fun of the franchise.
Or by someone that really hates it.
Or by somebody that really, and like the idea that any of these people would go along with this.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. And, well, Lucas says that he had little, if no, participation in this at all.
Okay.
That it was just kind of taken from him.
Yeah, right. That's probably him dressed in the Itchy
didn't
costume.
Didn't something happen with him and the Directors Guild and Fox and the rights? Anyway.
Yeah, I think this may have been the start of his
demise.
Yeah. No, not no, where he took over control and he controlled every aspect of the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah,
maybe.
After this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good
but,
plan.
Yeah.
But it makes me like sad.
It's all you can do. I mean, because if anybody's listening to this, all you're hearing is Wookiee gurgles, and this goes on for another 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Two-thirds of the whole special is Wookiee gurgles.
I mean, there's no subtitles either, people. I mean, this is just straight you interpreting what they're doing based on where they're standing and what they're doing.
And I would like to know how this is different from some of the dialogue in the prequel trilogy.
This is the point in the movie where you think that the little kid's gonna fall off into the abyss, but he doesn't, and then you're disappointed again.
Aww,
that would have been
nice.
Cool.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, look, he's just playing with death.
We're not going to watch this.
You don't want to see the French Miserod circus?
No.
I always saw them as the little things that pulled their heads off in Labyrinth. Start playing with each other.
That's a pretty good description.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a scary part of Labyrinth. You know, Gates McFadden did all the choreography for Labyrinth.
I know. When I found that out, she got some extra cool points from me.
Yeah. Well, she always had cool points from me.
Okay, we have to do the Luke scene.
Okay.
With the very cool wig.
They go to this, like, secret terminal in the back of the room where they can actually talk to their rebel friends.
Yeah.
And they call up Luke. because they're looking for Chewbacca. He hasn't shown up yet, and Itchy and Mala they're very worried about it.
Okay. And Chewbacca's with Han Solo.
Yes, trying to get back for the Life Day ceremony.
Apparently they bought a rug.
Interesting. This is before Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
R2's smoking.
Nice.
It kind of reminded me of the Family Guy, where they are hiding the pot in R2.
Yeah.
That ought to
hold nice. It, I think.
What's up? Okay, that's enough.
For Rizzle?
Oh my gosh.
We're not even going to watch the cooking show part.
Stir, whip, 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 stir.
Where's Carol Burnett when you need her?
Okay, we're fast forwarding.
I think this is when Art Carney brings them presents.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Art Carney had won something like, he won an Oscar and like 9 Emmys over the course of his career. How does someone go from that to this?
Well, Bea Arthur was actually, she was awarded because of Maude. I mean, she was like part of revolutionary television.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was nominated for like 7 Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
Or Golden Globes.
And
yeah.
She and was also because of the Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she's not like, you know, Meryl Streep, but she wasn't, you know, a complete joke. I mean, the fact that she's on here just is so sad, too. Well, it's sad for everyone. There's not one person who should be proud of this ever.
It's just a compliment to Star Wars because it was just that big a phenomenon back in 77 and 78 that
I think
everybody wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, but whoever's idea it was and whoever sat around and thought, you know, this is a good idea, needs to be rounded up, tarred, and feathered.
You know, I mean, if somebody came to you and says, like, look, we're coming up with a Star Wars special, would you like to be in it? And this is like, you know.
There's probably a way to do it. Just like the difference between Buffy and Buffy.
Yes.
There's a difference because, like, Buffy was written by Joss. It was there. It was crap. And then it was written by Joss. And it was
and
there.
Directed
it was
by Joss.
And directed by Joss. And then it turned out fine.
Art Carney insists on a kiss, which was gross. Especially since he gives Itchy some virtual porn, which was shocking to
For
me.
For real?
Oh yeah, it wasn't. Yes. It wasn't like porn in traditional sense. It was like 1X.
What?
But it was very erotic.
Oh, I think I did see that.
She had like this feather, white feathery.
Yeah,
hat.
Yeah.
I thought you might
like this. One of those. I mean, not even a Twi'lek, because that's like the universal go-go dancer of Star Wars. Happy
life day. At this part, it looks like Itchy's about to be electrocuted for crimes against Star Wars, but he's actually just going to watch the virtual porn in the seat. That or get his hair permed.
Okay, now you got to listen to what she says. I'll listen to what she says. This is
She's
Diane Carroll.
Yeah, it's Diane Carroll.
Oh, she's not bad either.
Yes. I mean, how did they get these people to do this?
They're just like, you want to be a part of Star Wars?
Do they owe them something?
It's kind of like Scientology where they get something on you and then you can't quit. But the thing is whoever thought of it in the first place, somebody had to orchestrate all this.
Yeah.
That's the sad part.
Well, that person evidently had won an Emmy before for variety shows.
Yikes.
Yeah. See, the plot thickens.
Okay.
Here it is.
Oh, is this the
more Circus
porn?
Delay
Circus
performances,
Delay, yeah.
Yes. Because you know how much Americans appreciate art.
It looks like the video of the reproduction system that they would show you.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is your brain on drugs.
Hold on.
This is your brain.
Listen.
Oh, there she is.
I found your eyes only. I exist for you. I am your mind. As you create me. Oh, yeah. Can feel my
creation. Oh my gosh! This is painful. Make it stop.
Hold on, it gets better.
So you get to see Itchy's reaction. I'm Wookiee excited.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, he's loving
Where
it.
Is she?
We can have a good time.
Okay.
Okay, no. See? It's all a lot of simple tricks and nonsense. Be mindful of your thoughts. They betray your feelings.
My favorite part of this is that she says, you know what, I'll tell you, I find you adorable. And he keeps replaying that over and over again.
Yeah, guys, listen right to me.
It's right there.
I mean, this is just like blatantly ridiculous.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Every part of this is just terrible.
Okay, we're fast forwarding.
I would just like to find a male of any species who finds that attractive saying, I think you're adorable.
I think you're adorable.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. I'm adorable.
The baby's melting down. Even he's upset.
All right.
Okay, Starship.
Jefferson Starship,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me sad because I absolutely adore Grace Slick.
They could only afford so many.
With the big black helmets, like in Spaceballs.
He looks like Rick Moranis,
He just thinks that look is cool.
Yeah. I guess. And you know what? There's like a voiceover for this guy. They never show his mouth moving, and someone's like speaking off camera. How did they trick Jefferson Starship into doing this?
Oh yeah, they were like doing really badly at that time.
At that time, they were.
Well, they just transitioned from Jefferson
Airplane, which was awesome, right, to Jefferson Starship.
Right, and even then it was
after
like
after the bad drug, but before the good drug.
See, check it out. His mic's
the
a lightsaber.
There's recreational drugs and there's the balance you out drugs, and this is between those two.
Balance you out drugs, right?
Oh, come on. So sad.
He has a lightsaber for a mic. How could you not love that?
It's glowing, but it doesn't look like a lightsaber.
No.
And it's pink, but that could just be the quality of the VHS.
I could be really, really horrible right now, but I'm going to
refrain.
Too bad.
Okay, I think that's enough.
Okay, yes.
I don't... This is my least favorite part of the entire thing.
That's your least favorite part?
Is it the Arthur time?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, we need to talk about the cartoon.
This is like the only good part of the whole thing.
It actually... Yeah. The cartoon is actually pretty decent. If it was by itself, it would actually... It probably wouldn't have been destroyed by Lucas if it was by
itself.
Yeah,
it's the introduction of Boba Fett.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's like the first attempt to actually develop his character.
They try to keep Lumpy busy by giving him a Game Boy to play with at this point.
With birth control on it?
Yes, exactly. I saw that. I thought the same thing.
It does have a bit of a calendar aspect to it.
I guess the luckiest people are the ones in those suits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see their faces? That's what's... Yeah, definitely.
We're waiting the return of Captain Han Solo and his first mate Chewbacca. We're long overdue on a delicate mission to acquire the mystical talisman, which has been sought by our forces and by the Empire.
I love how R2 bends, even though he's metal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think this was the start of Lucas's fascination with making Star Wars into animated series?
But you said he didn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah, I know, but maybe this was the one part that he did have control over.
Is this considered canon? Oh,
I don't know. Scary.
Yeah, the humans on this are very freaky.
Why is Han uglier than Luke? I just want to know.
Whatever he's doing, there must be a reason.
The funny part is that it kind of looks like it's Japanese that's been dubbed because the voice sync is so bad.
The only anime that I've ever seen similar to this was that movie Heavy Metal that was actually done around the same time. Mm-hmm. It kind of has that awkward large eyes and real rubbery movements.
It's almost, but not quite, just like the Saturday Night Live animations.
Yes, you know? The Robert Schmeichel pieces.
Yes.
Schmeichel.
And also, I wonder if this was the start of Mark Hamill's career as a voice actor.
Ooh, he's on Metalocalypse. I love that show.
He was the Joker in Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. In the many, many different incarnations of Batman.
Yeah. Cartoon.
Yes.
Yes, the animated series, yes.
Yes.
It wasn't very long, by the way. It's probably, what would you say, about 8 minutes long, something like that?
5 to 10, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's if anything, you know, it was fun just to see Boba Fett's character given a little bit of love. Mm-hmm. A new aspect to the Y-Wing I never knew about.
And there's Boba Fett. They have some toys out there, like some collector toys right now that are colored similarly to the cartoon character with
neat.
The purple helmet. What's with that third eye? You see that right above his visor opening?
Yeah, I didn't. Wasn't sure what that was all about.
Notice he still has
some dent, battle damage,
the
yes.
dent in his helmet, just like in the movie.
Ah. That's good. Mm-hmm. A little bit of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks just like he does in the movie, too. This is all we have, but
he's welcome to help. He's worth nothing yeah. to me. Of this dark creature. No lower life form
is worth going hungry for. Friend? He keeps saying that through the whole cartoon.
See, I thought that was actually kind of cool because, I mean, he's such a mean, you know, self-centered character. That's the only way he could be nice.
By pretending?
Just by pretending to say friend. Even just saying yeah. friend seemed like it was,
yeah.
like he was really using all
forcing
of his might.
It, yeah.
yeah, he was forcing it. So I was like, ooh, he's cool.
C-3PO obviously trusts him.
Why does anybody trust anybody with a helmet in the Star Wars universe? Why would anybody do that?
It's like in Firefly, never trust anybody with a hat.
Yes.
All the bad guys wear hats.
I'm going to have to make note of that next time I see that.
Joss even says that in special yeah. features.
Oh, okay.
All the bad guys wear hats.
Except for Jane, although that's technically a little beanie.
Yeah, yeah, he does wear that beanie from time to time.
Yes.
And he is not the best character
no.
as far as goodness.
That's true.
He'd go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like almost over, so.
Oh, good.
The cartoon.
Cartoon.
Oh.
Yes. And apparently there's a talisman that they never explained
exactly
what it was for, or where it came from. And the fact that we're even asking that question tells you that this is
that
actually
we
not
care.
Bad.
Yeah.
yeah, we actually care. We want to know where this talisman came from, why it did that to Luke and Han. So, you know, throughout the rest of the movie, we don't ask any questions. We don't ask how did Chewie get married to Mala in the first place.
But is it in just by comparison to the rest of the film, we think it's good because the rest of it sucks.
I see what you mean. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So this mediocre pile
yeah.
of dew is it's actually made amazing by what surrounds it. Pulled that from his gut. He was like, ugh, friend.
Friend, it hurts.
Oh my gosh. The Starlog update. Although Boba
Fett quickly located the serum for the sleeping virus, we have. See, narration. Why couldn't they do that with the Wookiees?
You're right.
Just
exactly, not
help.
Even subtitles.
Yeah. Subtitles, narration, anything, not just 30 minutes of the whole time. So this
okay,
is
this
not
is,
James Earl Jones.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's over.
Okay, good.
It's not necessarily over, but we're going to say it's over.
No, it's just another...
Sounds good.
Another Macaulay Culkin headshot of the little Wookiee again.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here's
There's B.
B. Arthur scene.
Oh, good. My favorite part.
Which is proof that the Cantina band truly only knows one song, like they say in Blue Harvest.
Back in the Cantina. Recommended by the Imperial Council in the belief that your commitment
to remain upstanding citizens will be reinforced. It is required. High tech computer technology. Imperial forces. Time
now for life. Note the blinking lights.
I think those are outtakes from A New Hope.
Could be. This transmission is unrehearsed and
unedited, and is hereby begun without further comment. Well, what is that? Like some
I think
type
it's
of
Big
giant or something.
Oh yeah.
I think someone should have directed those guys to, you know, calm down a bit.
Yeah. And thankfully, since
Are
it's only
nitpicking?
A...
Are you nitpicking?
I am.
Thankfully, it's only a year after the movie, so they still had all the original costumes.
Finger and Dan and the modal nodes are my favorite thing in A New Hope. I love them. The cantina scene's my favorite.
So you actually kind of enjoy this part?
No, well...
Enjoy,
I wouldn't say enjoy, yeah, that's a very
word.
Strong
word.
You're like, yay, the cantina.
Notice
again.
The bouncer. I think they stole a soldier from The Wizard of Oz, one of the witch's soldiers.
Winky?
Yeah. He's green, he wears a coat, overcoat kind of thing. Okay, I gotta say this about Bea Arthur.
Okay.
She's stretching her creative talent to play a grouchy old woman in this scene.
I don't know if she's ever been young. I love Bea Arthur, but I'm only making fun of her before because of this.
I know.
Okay. And she's Bea Arthur. Now we'll do it my way. What'll it be? She's trying her best, just like everybody is.
Yeah.
But her best just isn't good enough.
I mean, what can you do with a script like that? I mean, and you, she does have to pour the drink into the man's head for
know,
him to actually drink.
Oh my gosh.
It's
painful.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Just when you think it couldn't get worse.
No.
They did get the Tupperware right.
I'll be waiting.
I think
he's
that
so
guy,
creepy.
That guy from Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harvey Korman.
He plays like three different characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played the cook.
Nithor.
The cook.
I
this guy.
Yeah, this
theory,
guy. The drinks from his head.
Like a good idea, but...
Are you kidding me?
He drinks from his head and he has six fingers on each hand.
So, is the guy named Inigo Montoya coming after him?
I watched that yesterday.
Prepared to die.
Manny Patinkin was starting to get a name during this time. He could have buzzed in with his sword.
It's coming. Don't worry.
That's right. He's going to bust out some poetry and hit on Bea Arthur.
I know.
Oh my god.
Get some of that, player.
I don't know what
we're
the purpose.
We're not going to listen to the whole song, are we?
Yes.
No, we're not.
Yes.
We should.
You have to. You didn't watch any of this, so you have to sit through that one scene.
I'm not talking about me. I'm worried about the people that listen to this podcast.
Oh, sure. Be that person.
They could black out while driving. Is that what you're saying? Just like David passed out on the couch.
Whose idea was this?
Sorry.
Please address all of your comments to
George Lucas.
Something's very passionate.
Exactly. I'm not real sure what the point is. Well, again, there's no point to any of this, but... Look, you were right, Gerald. Oh, that's right.
He's spooning her. It hurts my eyes.
Spooning Bea Arthur.
Burning.
If you asked me if I was going to say spooning Bea Arthur this morning, I would have said, no, sir. Not me.
Oh, my God.
Look at her showing off the shoulder there.
Have another drink.
What do you think? She's in her 50s there?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
She has to be in her late 100s.
I'm not kidding. I don't think she
She's
is.
In her 30s and late 70s?
I really think she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right.
Well, the good thing is that she'll never look like she's ever aged.
That's
ever.
True, right. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
That's
simple little words. I can wait for
like Steve Martin
again. A little.
Okay, here comes Angela. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. The little dance.
Yeah, what's the point of the stormtroopers watching all of this, too?
Hey, daylight music.
Oh, what the heck? Do we have to wait for...
Yeah, they have to put on the curfew, which is why she has
oh,
to get
okay.
the people out of the bar in the first
gotcha.
Place.
Oh my gosh. You know, this
somehow
is probably the most painful thing I've ever been through, and I've had a child.
I was just gonna ask
naturally. I prefer childbirth to this.
I'm starting to think that I should reevaluate my fear of childbirth. If I can make it through this,
See?
I can have a kid.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, totally.
Please write your comments too.
You always watch this while it's going on, then you'll be like, shh, this is nothing.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol.
Come on, you guys. Haven't I always lent you love?
So she's the bar owner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All creatures, please do me a favor and leave.
And if you'd read the Tales from Mos Eisley, you'd know that it's not actually canon. She was never actually the owner of the cantina in Mos Eisley.
Bea Arthur was never actually the owner of Canteen and Mos Eisley, Jen. Is that
no,
right?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, just making sure.
The EU tells us otherwise.
I said we're closed. I would make fun of you, but I don't think I
Just wanted to make sure. Got my Got my facts straight there.
Angela and I have a boss who made us watch this at work because he knows we like
and
Star
then he
Wars.
He kept doing the dance.
He was singing it, and he was coming into the room in front of us with show hands. And if
jazz
you don't
hands.
Know what, yeah, jazz hands. That's when you shake your hands in front of you.
In rhythm.
In rhythm. Yeah.
Spirit fingers.
That's right.
Here we
More
go.
More spirit.
This song was stuck in my head all night as I was trying
Thank
to sleep.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's the stuff of nightmares.
Kind
of
just, and it has a little bit of a jazz swing to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like the Cantina song off key.
Just one more round, friend.
This hurts me.
B. Arthur is kind of like the Rex Harrison of the female part of the species. Because Rex Harrison can only speak sing.
Yeah.
It's not goodbye, friends. That goes out to my theater geeks out there.
But not goodbye.
At one point, it's just a bunch of aliens going, rah, 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 rah. We need to do it together when that part comes on.
See, at this point, people, we've been watching the movie so much, we're actually delirious.
That's
there's
an
a 15-foot hamster nuzzling with B. Arthur. Another thing I didn't think I was going to say today.
See, not watching currently, so I'm the voice of the listener. I'm the orchestra.
You're the Han Solo.
I am the Han Solo of this podcast right now. I think it's important.
Do you have a bad feeling about this?
I have a very bad feeling about this.
Oh, my. See... Like, she's, like touching and, like, all feely with all the customers and stuff. She has no idea what she's touching on
these. It's the warm handshake.
Well, notice it's mainly with the furry customers.
Really?
Hey, there's not a lot of attractive women other than the twins and the New Hope that were in the cantina.
Thank
it's
you.
Kind of parallels reality.
Yeah, now we have, like,
yeah.
a whole
so
bunch of aliens cutting
go,
in the dance
If you were to
me.
Go to any, like, back hole bar.
Okay. So all
jazz hands.
There would be a B. Arthur there.
So horrible.
And everyone would be hitting on her.
See, there's... And now Jason Voorhees is going to dance with her. There you go.
I can't believe you're making me watch all of this.
You're not
listen
watching
to
it.
It.
You're not watching it. You're all the way over there.
I know. Somebody has to be the voice of our listener.
Okay, eventually the aliens are going to all start singing with her and we need to do it together.
Okay.
They actually ran out of lyrics.
Da, 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 da.
So what you don't know, this is actually Wookiee dialect.
And they start doing a little slow conga line.
Yeah, check it out. It's a wedding march.
Playing Follow the Leader with B. Arthur.
Out the door.
And what's great is that they...
Listen how it goes off key.
What's great is that when they continue to follow the leader, even though she stops at the door.
Right.
Because they are too drunk to notice. So if ever, you know, it's, you know, closing time for a bar and you're a bar owner, you
yeah,
can just
sing
this
song.
Follow the leader.
Piper. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And here comes the...
So long, band.
The modal nodes going out the door.
You know I'm here, friend.
Oh, gosh.
Is that a tear, friend?
I know, it's sad.
What's a little kid doing at the bar?
You're underage, friend.
Okay, and that was the B. Arthur song.
Yes.
So, shall we move on to the end?
Yay!
Yay!
I think we should. What do you think, Baby Russ?
That's a very interesting comment, Russ. I think that is very astute.
Insightful.
Yes.
Now you understand him much better than you do
the Wookiees. Yes.
Yes.
Lumpy is in his room with his present that the
guy gave him.
Yeah,
the
traitor
Art Carney.
Art Carney traitor
so
guy.
So he's in his room with the porn?
Yeah, no.
No, not
I wish.
No, the toy that Art Carney gave him was some type of device that allowed him to send false messages to the Empire to let them know that, you know, they're being called back to base.
Oh.
And so all the Imperials that were in the house leave, thinking that they're being called back.
Okay.
Except for one. One stormtrooper remains behind to guard them.
And why he didn't just automatically shoot Lumpy, we don't know.
It would have been better.
But at least Han Solo comes along.
And Chewie comes along. And this is the scene that Conan O'Brien teased Harrison Ford about in the interview that I'll play for you in a minute.
Look at Lumpy. He's sure grown, huh?
And your voice is changing.
Oh my gosh!
Harrison Ford gives us an insight into a Wookiee's changing days.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie,
check and coast is clear, will you?
You're like family to me. I love how he just kind of pauses there. He's just like, I don't know if I can really say that, but I'll.
I have to leave. I have a career.
Awkward moment here between Mala and Chewie.
Especially the fact that Chewie picks up the gun before approaching his family. Exactly. And I was like, sweet. This is gonna be good.
You know, they should have given her that glow they give to Barbara Walters.
Oh, and Barbara Walters filter?
And Diane Sawyer, you know, the star filter.
Yeah, she's like, I like you as a friend.
I'm going to kiss
I just want to be friends.
I understand we have a kid. We can work this out. It's just...
I'm not sure that the kid belongs to Chewie.
Yeah, they look nothing alike.
Itchy!
Oh my gosh.
Doesn't the Big Brother dude kind of remind you of David Hyde Pierce in some strange way?
Yeah, he does.
Is there a problem? You are instructed to turn on your comlink immediately.
Think I can handle it. I got a piece of explicit material here. I'll just forward to him.
We have two-way communication, Trader Sondan. Is this a report about the missing trooper?
It is, sir. Trooper B4711 was here with three other men.
B4711. Thank you for coming.
Mama.
With the silent cue.
I like how the three men are like adjectives and Mala's just like, I'm here.
Itchy and Scratchy Show.
Mala's like the Meg of Family Guy.
Yeah.
Meg.
Okay, here comes Life Day.
Oh. This is kind of weird. This looks like they're being teleported to some sort of like supernova or something.
Yeah, they're skywalking.
Very psychedelic.
Nice.
No, it's much cooler than that. They're getting information for the Bohemian Rhapsody scene.
Mm-hmm. I see a little silhouette of a man. Oh, you do the fandango, thunderbolt and lightning.
Galileo fighting me.
Galileo!
Galileo!
Galileo! Galileo Figaro! Oh!
I would have appreciated if Queen did make an appearance on this movie.
that would have made up for it.
That would have been much better than...
And Freddie Mercury would have been in that world.
Have y'all seen the infomercials for the Snuggies?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that new blanket that they made. It's a blanket with arm sleeves.
Doesn't it look like they're wearing...
It does look like they're wearing Snuggies.
Well, I mean, isn't Star Wars supposed to be like in the distant future?
No, past.
Oh, it's a past.
Yeah.
Oh. That's right. We now hereby revoke your geek card.
Galaxy far, far away.
It expired about a couple of months ago. I meant to get it renewed. I just don't have the time.
Okay, the pain is almost over.
No.
We have...
There's at least...
Are we going to listen to the whole Princess Leia song? Oh
yes.
My gosh.
Well, at least just to start it off, just so we can annoy you. But it is kind of fun to see how high Carrie Fisher is.
And her singing voice isn't terrible. It's just...
No. She's just high.
She is high.
Which is a testament to her acting ability, seeing as she can...
Act even though she's high.
Yeah, memorize all those lines and still be, like, blown out of her mind.
In one scene when they have, like, a tight shot of her, one of her eyes looks like it's slightly off.
I noticed that, too.
It's a little lazy, yeah.
Yeah.
And she does sway quite a bit.
She does so much better when she's leaning against the against Chewbacca. I think she's actually hanging on to him to keep him from falling down.
Yeah, she fell against him. Oh, then.
I think she's like, see how she hasn't let go of him? Yeah. She's like, hold on.
Yeah.
I can't actually stand on my own weight.
Well, we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil.
That's very profound.
Looks like Mark Hamill's hair
it's
back
It's
kind
of like the final thought at the end of Jerry Springer.
That's very true.
It is.
After the whole freak show
is
he
over,
says something profound.
No, what we really learned here is that things have to stick together.
But not sexually. The sleeping with your mother's wrong.
Yeah.
Go, Carrie, go.
Oh my gosh.
This really should have been a video cast.
Yeah.
Let's just put it on Angela's face for the entire thing.
Harrison Ford had this really horrible expression on his face.
Yeah.
It's like, when is this dang thing going to be over with?
And C-3PO is swaying. And
here's
like,
her high note she totally misses.
I can't find the note.
Jack Daniels, you failed me again.
Oh, that is my phone.
Why did they make her sing a soprano song?
I know, she's totally not a soprano.
Don't ask me.
She's more of an alto.
Again, nitpicking. Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
The corpses have to sit somewhere!
Oh, thank God it's over. You know, there is, though, attached to this video, a Kenner commercial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is really cool.
Yeah, they're pushing their pushing their toys.
And I had quite a bit of the toys they were pushing.
Ah, salesmanship.
See, there's a part of me the whole time that I was just thinking, oh, I wish I could go out and buy those because they were worth a ton right now. It's every single one of those.
That shouldn't be the reason why you buy them.
In the ending credits, they just use clips from the movie.
Yeah, and look, there's Sir Alec Guinness, who never makes
an
appearance.
His only appearance.
He's the only one smart enough not to.
Thank you, Alec Guinness. We knew we liked you.
Now I know why Harrison Ford hates Han Solo.
Yeah.
Because they made him do this.
He did good work after this, though, as Han Solo.
Yeah, he did.
So.
But this may have colored his perception.
Well, that's very true.
I think he was the only one who really had a handle on his character. Because even he was the one who was just like, Han Solo wouldn't say I love you. He should say I know. And they were just like, okay.
Yeah. Okay, done.
No.
The Wookiees have to bow their head in prayer.
Are you fucking kidding me?
This is the toy push.
This is the toy commercial.
Oh, okay.
Simmer down.
Simmer down now.
Oh, they took it out of the
box.
It
looks like the one with the wings pop off.
Oh, yes.
I totally had them. And they still have those. And I had that. Little speeder. Land speeder. My cousin had the Death Star. I was totally jealous. The trash compactor.
I had no idea it had
a trash
compactor.
Does he? No, he has the Millennium Falcon.
and reaction. These and other toys and games in Kenner's Star Wars collection are so...
Now it's over.
It is for us anyway, because the Wookiees do indeed bow their head in prayer.
I never needed it.
Okay, it's over.
Yay!
Yay!
That's a celebratory.
No, why did you stop?
All right, I feel better already.
Okay, don't you feel so much better about life and how it could never be as bad as that?
Yes, I do feel a lot better about life.
Makes you want to go out and watch The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it makes. Yeah, this is the time to watch.
If
the
you have
to
go, well, this is quality.
This isn't bad. Jar Jar Binks is okay.
If you ever hated Jar Jar, watch the holiday special. Mm-hmm. You will appreciate him so much more.
Let me ask you something. This is a question I've wanted to ask you for a while, and I've always restrained myself. Star Wars, of course, came out 1977, I believe. Huge international hit, one of the biggest hits of all time. Rockets you to superstardom. And then shortly afterwards, a Christmas special came out that was produced by George Lucas, in which all of the participants in Star Wars came together, and they made this Star Wars Christmas special, and the tape's been passed around for years, and the rumors that Lucas is trying to suppress it because none of you look happy while you're making this thing. And I thought I'd just ask you about it. Do you remember making this Christmas special? I think it was 1978. No, you don't remember it? You have no memory of this incident.
No, none whatsoever.
No memory of it at all.
No,
so it doesn't exist in your...
No, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
No.
What if I were to tell you that I had a little piece of tape right now? What if I were to roll that piece of tape? How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't feel... I don't know. I've never seen it. Maybe it'll be nice. Go ahead. Roll it.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Chewie, check and see if the coast is clear, will you? You're like...
That Wookiee looked at you with lust. That was...
Real affection.
Quasi-affection. Yeah.
Hi, Jenna. I'm Jenna. This is Matt. And I'm just about to interview my good friend Nikki, who has just seen Star Wars, the first one, well, New Hope, for the very first time. Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
So we've just sat down and watched Star Wars. You watched the original 1977 version, the unmastered version in its full 70s glory. We had the titles and the opening music. What did you think of that to start off with?
As I was expecting, quite cheesy, but very spacey. Very spacey,
because it's Star Wars.
Music, yeah.
So, the music came across as very spacey.
Yeah.
And the titles came across very spacey.
Yeah.
Was that because it was titles going across space?
Yeah.
That's good. It's a good start.
You can see the stars in the background, and yes, you got the title Star Wars, so that's what I was expecting.
Did you find the titles fairly confusing, or did you get what was going on?
No, I read the... as it was going across the screen, I managed to read that, and that's pretty good though,
because a lot of people who watch you for the first time actually can't keep up with what's going on. It's just going a bit too quickly. But you was cool with it? It's fine.
No, that was cool.
Or did you really care?
I suppose I did really care, but I watched it because you asked me to.
Well, okay. So we got introduced to the two main characters, which was C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah.
What did you think of them?
Apart
from just being robots.
Yeah. Apart from being robots, the Goldie one, what was he called?
That was 3PO.
That's the one. He seemed a little Yeah, I think he was a bit camp. If a robot can be camp.
He does come across as slightly campy.
Yeah, it's a very posh. And see, what's the little one?
R2-D2, the little one.
R2-D2, that's the little one. Yeah, yeah, the whistling little.
There was a little
robot.
Man in there as well. Little dwarf. Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker.
It was, true. It was a little Kenny Baker.
Bless
you, little
Kenny Baker.
They didn't get on with each other either in real life.
Oh, right.
No. But Anthony Daniels is a bit of an arse.
Oh, dear.
Allegedly.
Bless.
So they bugger off. They go down onto Tatooine. As I said to you when we was watching that, if that guy did shoot them originally, that film would have ended very quickly.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And that would have been a rubbish film.
Yeah.
Then, to be fair. So they land down and we get to see, skipping on a bit, we get to see Luke Skywalker. Your first impressions of young Luke Skywalker?
He's a Kevin.
He's a Kevin now.
He's a Kevin. A sulky little boy who wants his own way. Yeah, definitely.
And for American friends, how would you describe a Kevin?
Oh, to our American friends, typical teenager. Stompy.
Like a cheerleader style.
Yeah, I want my own way. I'll sulk if I don't get it.
He does come across as wet.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yes.
Spoilt, wet little boy.
Spoilt, wet blanket, yeah.
Who is power converted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we get to introduce, well, he's got his uncle, but we don't need to talk about them because they die.
Yeah.
He quite get all nice and burnt, a bit toasty. And then we introduce, let's just talk about Darth Vader because he kicked in, coming out there with your stormtroopers. Did he come across quite menacing?
No, I didn't think he did, not in this one anyway.
Not even with his big helmet?
Hell no. That voice, he sounded like he got a chest infection, I'm sorry, but he needed to be a bit more tough.
Well, that was James Earl Jones doing the voice, though.
Yeah, no.
And he obviously wasn't James Earl Jones in the suit.
No, I guess not.
Because he was a bit too tall, and he's a bit of a small, fat fella, his old James.
No, yeah, I think his character wasn't as menacing as I was expecting it to be.
Really? Not even with the force and the strangling of the guy?
No.
Really?
If he was going
to
do it for me,
wouldn't you like to do that to some people in a supermarket, though?
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, you're trying to get them, someone comes along with the coupons, yeah. Bit of the old strangulation.
Yeah, but I would continue to strangle them. I wouldn't let them go and, you know, just because somebody told me to, no.
Really?
You need to continue to strangle them. I'm sorry, but he didn't kill very many.
Well,
you got your stormtroopers to do all
Well, he
that,
killed
that.
A planet. Well, no, that was Peter Cushing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Peter Cushing, legendary English actor.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a, he seemed quite surprised when he turned up.
Yeah, in a film like this, because he is a legendary English actor, and this is Star Wars.
We say legendary because the fact we both really like horror films, but when you think about some of the really bad horror films he did.
Yeah, they were all
Christopher
cheesy,
Lee.
But certainly legendary, like you say, yeah.
He wore slippers during that as well.
Did he? Fair play.
Can you imagine that, though?
Yeah.
One of the most evilest people in the world, about to destroy your planet, and he's wearing slippers.
Pink fluffy slippers.
I could imagine, because it's Peter Cushing, that they were more tartan.
Yeah.
A bit more tartan.
Yes, in the pipe.
Yeah, maybe a smoking jacket.
Yes.
One of the best Sherlock Holmes. With the violence, like.
Oh, of course he is a Sherlock Holmes,
he
too.
He is a Sherlock Holmes, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because usually he plays the good guy, doesn't he? Because he's the vampire hunter and...
Well, apart from Frankenstein, obviously.
Yeah, apart from that. But usually he plays the good guy. Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting him in that. But I thought he played his character well, as always.
Good to see him. Yeah. And then we got Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
No, this is the thing you see. It's either people either like Harrison, and I say like as in like fancy. Would you have?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Really? Han Solo though, or Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford. Han Solo was a bit of an idiot, but...
What?
He was a bit of an idiot. He was quite rude.
He's a smuggler. He's a bit of a cheeky chap.
Yeah, but he came through in the end.
Well, that is true, yeah. And his big walking carpet.
Yeah, that thing.
Would you like to have cuddled up to him on a cold night?
No.
Really?
He's probably got fleas.
It would have been... Well, imagine him damp as well, like a damp dog.
Oh, he'd smell like a damp dog, yeah.
Ooh, dear me. So, yeah, so then we've got the main characters. And the story in general, what do you think of the whole...
Yeah, I was able to follow that. I understood that. And, it was kind of like you could see what was coming and what was going to happen.
Mm.
But, yeah, I understood. It was easy to go with.
So, for a 1977 sci-fi film, do you like it?
Yeah, I suppose. It's... Since I've never seen it before, just heard lots about it, yeah.
And would you want to see the other... Now, bear in mind that there's so many of them now. The follow-up to Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Empire being the best out of the three. Would you look forward to seeing the other two again?
I wouldn't say look forward as such, but yes, I'd be interested to watch them, to compare things like special effects and the class of actor and the actual acting as well, to be fair.
Were you not impressed with the acting?
No, it's a bit overacted or a bit cheesy, I'm afraid.
Now, the reason why I left the one character towards the end, because I knew he was going to talk about acting, was Alec Guinness. The good Sir Alec Guinness with his quite bad wig on there at certain points.
Wiggy, yeah.
Played by Ewan, well, obviously Obi-Wan Kenobi was played by Ewan McGregor in the so-called prequel films, or so-called they are prequel films. So, Alec Guinness, I mean, what do you think of him?
Again, he didn't really say a lot, and considering he's such, a big actor, I don't think he played a strong role in the film. He was there with Darth Vader at the end, having a bit of it. What was he wondering about the ship doing? Do you know what I mean? What the heck was he doing?
Well, when he was guiding Luke to turning off his navigation.
He was whispering in his ear.
He can't be whispering in his ear. He went in the cab with him, was he? It was like the Force he was going through.
Well, there
the
you
mystics,
go. But he was,
the Force.
Even before he died, he was just wondering about the ship doing on, no? What?
Well, he comes back.
Oh, right.
Immediately in ghost form.
Rightio. Fair play.
Yeah, which is pretty good. So, overall, good film, bad film, and how much would you rate it out of 10?
Moderate film, and I'm going to go with a 7 out of 10, I think.
7 out of 10. Mm. Now, would you think you would have enjoyed it more if you'd watched it earlier on in life instead of the age that you are now, which is the same age as me?
Yes, afraid so, because I've seen all the spoofs and all the off-takes.
Spaceballs has ruined it, hasn't it?
It
has, because I had to sit here with you
seriously.
Doing the Swatch and the Darth helmet and everything.
Just taking the mick, I know. No,
unbelievable.
It's the spoofs that have ruined it, because all I can see now is silly people making silly jokes.
Really? It's a good job you've never seen the Star Wars Christmas special, because that's really dire. You're never going to see that. I'm not even going to show you.
You're not going to show me that.
Geordie Star Wars, though, I will. Because that's just fun.
And to all you listeners out there, I think you want to try looking up Taff Wars. Very fun.
Taff Wars. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Nikki. Cheers.
No worries.
Okay, thanks, Jen and Anja. That was my interview with Nikki. Cheers.
That was impressive.
Everybody loves Bohemian Rhapsody.
Most
okie dokie.
Except all those kids in the 70s that commit suicide.
Oh.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Anomaly Podcast, and thank you to our special guest, Casey.
Hi.
And Gerald.
Hello.
Before we wrap this up, I wanted to point out that if you could not download the video that we put up that refuses to download,
we're getting closer every time.
Yeah. Forget that one. Go to YouTube. We have a channel. Look for Anomaly Podcast, and you will see all of our videos there, and we have quite a few that you can watch.
Yay!
And also, we have a blog, and check out our new RenFest pictures we have on our gallery. We had a great time at RenFest, and we will talk about it at some point, just not today. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy Life Day.
Hello! All right, I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly. Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog, and leave us a rating on iTunes, hopefully a positive one. Drop us a line at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or via our contact page at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. And leave a comment on our latest episodes, or just say hi. And if you're an anomaly, or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world. Anomaly is released on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license, which means you have to have our permission to change it or incorporate it into another work. All rights reserved.